encourage you guys to continue this theme. Honestly, I think it's a gift to the industry. I loved your post that 2024 should be the year of unreasonable hospitality.
All right there, Adam. Good afternoon. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. It feels like spring. We've got daylight savings time, but it also has reached probably 75 degrees here on the Outer Banks. So it's nice. It's not going to last too long. I think it's going to dip down into the 50s. We've got a soccer tournament this weekend. So quick update on the sports side, and then we'll carry it into today's conversation. So we are prepping for the tournament this weekend. Hopefully we've got some good discussion that we can have and talking about a championship after this. But the highlight for my week from a sports side of things is we had Syracuse Lacrosse down in the Outer Banks that was here for spring break, but was practicing. So they had scheduled time on a field, the local field, and they coordinated with our middle school team. So I've got a middle school lacrosse player. My son that I coach on the soccer team also does lacrosse. So he had the opportunity to practice with Syracuse Lacrosse. Now, for anyone who doesn't follow, that's a huge deal in lacrosse because Syracuse has had a very long history of lacrosse. Jim Brown, who's, you know, NFL Hall of Famer, he was a really good lacrosse player when he was at Syracuse. That has carried on. They are currently ranked number 6 in the country. So huge opportunity to get access to a Division I team and have them come down and practice. So that was really exciting. But it got me thinking about this week's discussion a little bit and what starts to set people and teams apart when you start to think about that upper echelon of sports, not only today being number 6, but having such a long history. And I think it's small things. I think as people, we start to determine, hey, well, they must just be at another level. But I think in order to get to that next level, it's really a lot of small things done consistently over time that gets us there. And it started to bring in today's discussion, which I think is very important. One, important to me from a personal perspective. I chatted last year with Conrad when I was giving my overview and my background about how I've got a special needs son. He's got a rare genetic disorder. He was number 53 in the world when we finally got it diagnosed. Symptoms similar to severe autism. So I've got a special needs child in my family, and clearly I'm passionate about the vacation rental industry, not only from the perspective of trying to help build the industry, but also this is where, when we travel, we stay in vacation rentals. So there are some challenges that come with having a special needs person or being someone that has special needs and then having to travel and trying to find accommodations that will actually fit the needs that you have outside of the norm. And I think that the companies that are doing this well, going back to that sort of D1 upper echelon, are the ones that are looking for the small opportunities. They see a gap in the industry, but that gap isn't always to maybe drive more revenue. Sometimes it's just to do the right thing. And I think this is one of those areas where it's really nice because it is the right thing to do. We do have an underserved population. And a lot of times, you know, like my son, this is an underserved part of the population that doesn't necessarily have a voice to tell you, hey, I'm underserved. So I think it is the right thing. But as we'll get into the discussion today, I think there's also a huge opportunity from a value perspective, from a revenue driving perspective. So this is one that I'm really excited to talk about and to maybe give a little bit of the lay of the land. I was a number of months ago, probably 2 months ago, someone had reached out with this topic in mind. Hey, we've got someone who's interested. They have these challenges. And then as I started to dig into that, we were setting the schedule for today's episode. I realized, hey, there's someone else in this industry that's really trying to drive this message and solve some of these problems. So we've got two different sides of this story. We've got a traveler who sees these challenges, and then we've got someone from the industry who's trying to help solve some of these challenges. So it should be a really good really good discussion to get into today. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think you set the table well, Adam. I was going to tell a quick, you know, example of your sports story when it's like, sometimes the college players will like go easy on the middle schooler of like, oh, like, let's not beat him up. But the best thing for him is just to get absolutely roughshotted, you know, like just absolutely destroyed, because then he realizes how far away he is. Like, he might think he's good. And then he goes and plays these guys that are D1 top 10, you know, in the country. And he goes, oh God, like, I have so much more to go. So what did they do? Did they take it easy on him? Or did they just run over him just to teach him a lesson?
I think it was a mix of both. I've got some video evidence of them not taking it easy. So I am happy to hear that. I'm a believer in that. Well, sometimes you got to get knocked down to understand how much work you have to do.
Yeah. It's a good like reframe or that sort of thing. I remember one time I played this kid who was a senior when I was a freshman back home before I moved down here in a tournament, and he just ripped me apart. I mean, he was 50 yards past me, and it was just embarrassing. But I was like, I now know like how much better I have to get, you know, because when you're the best player on the team, you think, oh, well, no one here on the team could beat me. And then you realize how much better, you know, the other two players are. But yeah, sorry, I had to go through that story. Well, as you mentioned, Adam, we've got some two interesting guests here that don't know each other too well, but I think, like you said, have this kind of topic maybe that they can dive into together. So Adam, I think you did a good job of kind of mixing and matching. Adam, I'll go your way first, if that's okay. So for folks listening who don't know you, maybe a little bit of background about you, how, you know, kind of Adam chose you, I guess, for today's episode about accessibility and this type of travel, and yeah, your entry point in the industry, what you know about it, and that sort of thing.
Sure. I live in California. I run a research company, market and opinion research. And my wife and I have three kids. Our youngest is severely autistic. He also had a heart defect and had two heart surgeries when he was younger. Thankfully, that's going well. But he is nonverbal and all the other things that come with being a severely autistic kid. And so we are, you know, very lucky that we get to travel. We get to take trips. We have support from friends and family. But our travel looks, I think, a lot different than what other people do because there's a lot of considerations. I'm not staying on the fourth floor because, you know, I don't even open the windows in my second story house. I'm, you know, concerned about safety for my son. My son also has moments where he's very agitated and it's, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning and he's up for the day and he's very loud. So, you know, certainly hotels accommodate us, you know, fairly well, and they're great places to travel. But having an environment where we don't have a neighbor right next door, you know, at the other side of the wall, can be very valuable when he's up at 2 o'clock in the morning and screaming. So there's a lot of different things that come into play. And when he was younger with his heart, you know, issues, we've always looked for the typical, hey, we're going somewhere and we're booking a hotel and we're just taking off. It doesn't work like that. There's a lot more thought that goes into it and a lot more support we could use in the process.
Mm-hmm. No, that makes sense. I want to go through some of those questions, but I forgot to ask you. Sorry, one of the questions that we always ask our guests, our new guests especially, we also need a song that best describes you as well, Adam.
You know, I think about this a lot. I'm a music fan. I am not musical at all. I don't have the capability to make it, but I love music. And Kenny Loggins has a song called Denny's Song. And it, you know, goes, even though we ain't got money, I'm so in love with you, honey. And then there's a line about I'm going to have a son. And I actually didn't know I was going to have a son because we never found out what the genders were beforehand. But it very much kind of speaks to me. And I'm not suggesting we're poor or anything, but we're not rich, but it just speaks to me somehow.
Nice, there you go. Is that the first Kenny Loggins, Adam? I feel like it has to be. No, I don't remember.
Most definitely. We have not had Kenny Loggins. That's a great addition. And that's a great song.
Anything sappy in 80s and, you know, yep. Love ballad, I'm into.
Perfect.
Right on. Awesome. Well, Lorraine, let me go your direction and I'll try to do it properly this time. We need a song that best describes you. So I'll lead with that. And then if you don't mind, again, you're kind of, you know, how you got into the industry, more about becoming rentable in your background as well.
Sure. Well, you know, I think I'll be a first too. I want to be up there with Adam, not Kenny Loggins, but I do love Kenny Loggins. But, you know, becoming rentable, we look at one size isn't a fit all. Mm. And we believe in choices when you're booking a short-term rental. So I'm giving you all choices because, like Adam, I love music. And so I first went to my 27-year-old and I said, you know, I got to have a song. What's the song? And I said, I want it to be Blackbird by the Beatles. And Alexander's like, but Mom. And I said, but no, it's talking about a broken wing and how you want to fly and the sunken eyes. And, you know, all your life you've been doing this. And I'm like, yeah, that's me. That's my disability all my life. And now, you know, here's this moment that I have to have a purposeful life. He says, no, no, let's get a little more contemporary. So, all right, we go to Katy Perry. Who doesn't want to roar? And I feel like that's what I'm in the stage in life is I just want to roar. And instead of going, meow, I want to go, guys, come on, let's get with it. So then I'm like, all right, but then what's the most iconic song about, you know, climbing success? Well, that's Rocky. You know, you're trying hard, you're feeling strong and you're going to fly. And I'm, you know, like ready to fly. And then, okay, then the best is Queen. I mean, you got to love Queen, even with Adam Lambert and Don't Stop Me Now. You know, so guys, I'm not going to give you one because yeah, I don't fit one. And so there you go.
There you go. It's like a playlist within a playlist.
I love it. I cheated on my first one as well, Lorraine. So I yeah. Let's add four to the playlist.
That's good. I think, Lorraine, you win, though, as far as the total volume of requests that you put in there. But I like it. Hey, it's a playlist. It's meant to have some variety into it. A playlist would be lame if it was the same type of song over and over again. So you brought some lovely variety there to our playlist.
Thank you.
And then, yeah, would you, a little background about you, yourself, how you got becoming Rentable, and then we could dive into it.
Sure. I was diagnosed at 2 with muscular dystrophy. I'm now 62. Oh, my goodness. I have 2 adult boys, 27 and 28, who also have muscular dystrophy. You know, we're a high maintenance family because, you know, they have me involved. And then you add a van and 3 scooters, wheelchairs, you know, the suitcases, the access, the snacks, and whoa, nearly travel was hard. So when I was 60, I wanted to do my last hurrah. I'm sitting out in the sun going, I'm at the beach, I'm loving it. And Adam, we're going to have to get together because I'm at Carolina Beach. Dude, I didn't even know you were down in the Outer Banks. Sweet.
Yep.
I'm like, you know, what brings me joy? And honestly, it's my renters. I love my renters. I have the very best renters in the whole wide world, but their stories, over 400 families have stayed at our short-term rental, and their stories were 100% all the same. And that was all about how hard it is to find a property that meets their family's needs. And this was in 2022. Here we are in 2024, and we're talking about it. Come on, folks. It's time to roar.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I like that. Well, Adam, maybe I'll go back your direction then, I guess, when it's like, so you've been inside of a lot of different vacation rental companies, Adam Norco, sorry, I did 2 Adams, as if I won't get tripped up on that. You've been inside of a lot of different vacation rental companies. What do you think, what's the blocker here? Why is it that we're not doing a good enough job? Is it that we can't get the homeowner bought in and it's their asset? Do you think that's the issue? Do you think it's up to the manager to make these properties more accessible? To Lorraine's point, what's kind of your read on it, having been, you know, looking at these properties for a long time?
Yeah, I think that, you know, I sat in the marketing seat for a little bit back in 2008 to 2012, and I can remember looking at ADA standards for trying to meet the standards for disability or handicap. And I remember the company and then the homeowners really sort of pushing back on that, thinking that those standards were too stringent. But I think that what we need to get to, for Lorraine's perspective, is that it's not necessarily trying to meet whatever those government standards are. It's adding small touches into those properties in order to make them fit the needs of not only the guests who might have some disabilities, but the people that are traveling with them, and actually the general public as well. So when I look at a lot of Lorraine's posts, she's pointing out the fact that a lot of the things that you might improve in these properties are actually going to be improvements for everybody. It just so happens that people with disabilities might need them in order to actually be comfortable in your properties. So I think that originally it was, hey, we're trying to be a little too stringent, and as a result of it, we're not getting much uptake on the things that we're requesting. But I think in today's day and age, to Lorraine's point, it's 2024. How are we not thinking through this? I think that the industry is still maturing. And if you go back and you think about the growth that we've had in the last, you know, 10, 15 years, a lot of it has been focused on scale and quantity and not necessarily quality. And I think that's because the money was easy, the guests were easy, the marketing was easy. And as a result, you didn't have to think too many layers deeper into that process to figure out how can I be successful as a vacation rental manager. And that doesn't discount the need for what we wanted to get done and what this discussion is. But I think what it does is it shows the focus of where the industry and the managers and the homeowners were at that time was, let's move fast to capture as much of this market as we can, not realizing that we might be leaving some of that market behind unintentionally. So I don't necessarily think it's an intentional decision, hey, we don't want to do these things. I just think that the way that the industry has been maturing, it hasn't been at the forefront. And then in addition to that, we didn't have someone like Lorraine or a company like Rentable that was pushing these ideas. Maybe you had 1 or 2 discussions at a conference that was saying, hey, this is a good idea. Maybe you can get a little bit more revenue. But it wasn't someone who was out there as their main priority was pushing the concept and pushing these ideas. And I think that's the part that's changes. And I'll let Lorraine get into this, but there's revenue opportunities. So you're going to make your guests more comfortable. You're going to have better guest experiences, but you also have the potential to reach an untapped part of the market, which will bring additional revenue. So I think there's a lot of benefits. And I think that now is the time to have someone out there like Lorraine that's pushing these ideas that's hopefully going to get some traction in the industry.
Yeah. Yeah, Lorraine, I'll go your direction. Then Adam, I want to go your direction because my first question, Lorraine, was about the ADA note that Adam said a second ago. Maybe you could explain that. I feel like I know what that is at a high level, but maybe you could bring me back to like a base level of understanding. What does that mean? I know that some people have to follow those guidelines. Maybe vacation rental homes don't. And that's why we've been able to get away with not taking this as seriously. And then more of a reaction to Adam's commentary about like this actually being an opportunity if by, you know, accommodating more people, basically.
So on ADA, it was a law that was created over 32 years ago. And again, the short-term rental industry had barely really, you know, taken flight and not many people. So it wasn't included. We updated the ADA and its regulations and guidance in 2010. The challenge that we have in the short-term rental industry is people don't understand it and know it. So I'm happy to say, and you all didn't know this, we're working on a signature piece with the National ADA Center and the Hawkins Institute to create a like a masterclass that explains the ADA and how it applies and it doesn't apply. So many times you'll see, we're ADA certified. Guess what? There's not such a thing, you know? So there is no ADA certification. And nix that. And it's like, oh, we have this ADA, you know, bed, not such a thing. So we don't know what the ADA applies and where it does apply. It's just gray. Mm. And so how can we get this information in language that we understand and that will affect us? I was speaking in Vegas at an Expedia event, their Explore Fest. And the number one issue that property managers told me of why they are not involved with our work is they are afraid of getting sued. And I have to say that that is when, you know, I'm going, all right, we got to deal with this. This is not rocket science, but the law was written in legalese that none of us understand. And so now we are trying to alleviate those questions and get that into our industry in the next couple of months. Now, what was your second question? I get, because I go off on my little soapboxes.
Let me jump in right real quick, Conrad, before you do that. Lorraine, what would the fear of liability be with that? Is that the idea that, hey, I marketed my property as ADA qualified or disability friendly and then it didn't qualify?
I think it's a fear of, oh my gosh, somebody in a wheelchair is coming in and they fall and they get hurt and they're going to sue me. Well, you know what? Somebody in a wheelchair might fall, but so may your guest who's drunk and, you know, had too many hot toddies that night, you know? So just because somebody in a wheelchair or somebody that's visually impaired or, you know, somebody with a cognitive disability comes does not guarantee they're going to trash your place or, you know, have a reason to sue. And there's just this idea that, you know, that's what we're all about. And I can tell you at my rental property at Carolina Beach, my renters are far better than my renters next door who they've changed their doors like four times for people who've, you know, been drunk and can't open the door, had vomit down the steps because, you know, they had too much fun. My renters bring me gifts. I mean, they give me gifts. They send me Christmas cards. I mean, come on. The best renters ever. You know why? Because they appreciate it. Mm-hmm. They appreciate that the features that we have meet their needs. I just booked a rental this past week. And I ask always, you know, why? And it's like, Lorraine, it's easy. Because we don't have to bring anything except ourselves. You know, it's not that we have to bring the pillows and you have the electric bed and you have this and you have that. We get to vacation and treat our vacation like everybody else.
Mm-hmm. Well, Adam P., I'll go back your direction, I guess, on that.
Wait a minute. You were going to ask me another question. And Conrad, I had a really good answer, but I've got to remember what the question was. So, dude, sorry, Adam, nothing personal, but what was that question?
Well, the second piece that I had a minute ago was just more about like Adam's general reaction to this being an opportunity, not necessarily being like we have to comply, but rather like, I think you alluded to it well, though, at the end there, like people are excited to book with you because you accommodate them. Yeah.
It is. And I'll be quick, Adam, number two. We got like Adam one and two here, Adam N and Adam P. What's crazy are the stats. Mm. In the United States alone, 1.5 million is roughly what they're saying of what is the inventory in the United States.
Right.
What is in the inventory in the United States that say they're accessible is 1,500, 1,500. Mm. That's less than 1%. That's hideous. That's horrible. Amortize that among 50 states, and we're talking a couple of properties, really? Hmm. And that's why, you know, we're doing what we're doing. But anyway, that answers those questions. All right, Adam P., I'll turn it over to you now.
All right.
All good. Adam Pete, what I was going to say is, how do you find the right listing then? Because it seems like you're maybe what you might be searching for personally, but your family is not, is like maybe privacy or just like having the space and not feeling like, you know, making noise is going to be a negative thing for people around you, that sort of thing. It could be rooms that are designed in a more friendly way to your family, to your son specifically. What's kind of your reaction of how you find maybe a property? What do you look for in a listing? That sort of thing.
I'll tell you that vacation rental and short-term rental have not really been a big option for us because of a couple of things. I need to be able to eliminate the stuff. So there is, when you walk into any hotel room, you walk into any short-term rental, there's just tchotchkes and stuff and things and vases and flowers and pots. And it's like, no, I can't handle any of that because all of that is going to be like on the floor or broken or on a glass table or like my kid's not violent. He's just very active and will stand on everything and climb on everything and everything becomes something to chew on. So when I walk in, I need people to like get rid of all that stuff. I need a place to put it all. And I think it's like very weird how vacation places in general are designed and the like interior designers that want to put like that weird stuff everywhere. Like I don't have, but my house, maybe it's, they're very weird, pastel colored, weird shoots of wood coming out of a potted plant. So that's my number one thing. And then from there, like gates, like the ability to just section off a part of the house, like stairs and things like that. And so it's not like that big of a deal. And if I have to go to Walmart, but the day I get there and kind of grab some things to put stuff away and grab some gates, and it's not the end of the world, but it doesn't make for a super fun, relaxing experience when the first thing I've got to do is 3 hours of prep work. So, I look for a lot of video and a lot of pictures. You give me that full engrossed perspective of what this place is going to be like when I get there, and all the Lorraine probably cares about elevations and things like that. Like, give me that full perspective of how things work. And that gives me much more comfort before I show up and gives me a much better opportunity. And, specifically, safety, like pool safety and things like that. Most vacation rentals have a pool safety mechanism, something like that. But it's got to be, I've got a 7-year-old who's, he's a strong kid. So, if you just have some dainty little fence around there for show, like that's going to be a problem. I need real, real safety in those environments.
Yeah. Well, you said that people are taking that seriously, Adam. I don't know if that's the case, to be honest with you. If it's not, I was going to go back your direction, Adam N., which is like, if people aren't, I guess, like enforcing these types of things, then where's like the teeth and the mechanism for people to, I guess, do it? Like the only thing I could think of that I could point to maybe in my experience is if like a property's uninsurable because they don't take the pool safety seriously, then that's a different conversation. Well, I can't get a property insurance, therefore I don't want to rent the place out. But without those mechanisms, Adam, and I feel like it's often the case that people will do the bare minimum to whatever gets it rented, back to your earlier commentary, I feel like a little bit.
Well, I think that's been the history up to now. Mm-hmm. I think that as we talk about these changes, and we're talking about later booking times, lower nightly rates, reservations going down, we're going to see companies that are going to have a hard time finding the right guests at the right rate that they're going to be at. So I think that what we're actually discussing as changes in this industry is points that we've made over time, is that the cream is going to continue to rise to the top. So the managers who are running things professionally, who are running them well, are going to be the ones that are going to be the most successful. Now, that doesn't mean that up to this point, they've done necessarily all the right things or capitalized on this market. To Lorraine's point, 1,000 or 1,500 listings that say that are accessible is ridiculous. I mean, that's crazy to think that there's that few. But what that also shows you is that there's such a big opportunity to just do small things in the right way. So I think that the cream that starts to rise to the top is going to also start to recognize that this is that opportunity. And to answer your question, Conrad, I think without the teeth, and this is sort of that side discussion around regulation and safety, without the teeth, it's going to be hard to get people, managers, especially managers that are struggling to do those right things. But I do think the cream that begins to start to rise is going to naturally do that. And they're going to do it for a number of reasons. One is going to be regulations that start adding some of the teeth. I think safety, Justin Ford and Eric Thibodeau, who continue to beat the drum around safety. I think we're going to get people and companies that, that rise to the top who recognize, yes, I need to do these bare minimums from a safety perspective. Pool is absolutely one of those. We have pool deaths every year in vacation rentals. We need to do the right thing and fix that. So I think safety is going to continue to do better. But I, the biggest opportunity when I hear Lorraine talking and some of the challenges that I hear from Adam is really for managers to recognize what the needs are from the clients and then start to try to meet those needs. I had not thought, I'm in a similar situation to Adam P. from a traveling perspective. My son has similar symptoms in the sense of sort of those severe autism symptoms. So I can relate to what he's saying and clearing, you know, the tables and the cabinets and everything else when I get there, because it just doesn't make sense to have all this stuff out. It'd be like showing up with a toddler and then just letting them have roughshod over everything that's at their eye level. It just doesn't make sense to do that. So as a manager, as these managers who start to recognize this opportunity, I think what they'll start to do is potentially design things a little bit differently. And it doesn't have to be a full inventory. This isn't something that needs to be, every home needs to meet X, Y, and Z needs. I think we'll start to look at our inventories a little bit differently and start to say, you know, this inventory fits into this niche or however we want to start to divide that up. But I think a segment of the inventory will start to meet the disabled needs. And to Lorraine's point, there's clearly a market for this. It's clearly being underserved with the number of listings that are out there that are mentioning that they're accessible. So if we can think about that low-hanging fruit around safety and around some interior design, because it's really not that hard to just make it more of a clean appearance without all of the extra stuff hanging around, to make sure that the safety is there so that people don't have to think about that. And to Adam P's perspective, you know, showing up and having to spend 3 hours to get going on your vacation, as Lorraine guests have said, they want to get there and feel like they're on vacation when they get there. We can do that for them. We just need to be thoughtful about how we do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, to that point, Adam, then I was on the Becoming Rentable website, Lorraine, and I'm seeing that you have like actually very specific examples. I'll put a link to this page in the show note, but it's the accessible rental features page on your website. And I notice you give like, because all this is so far, I feel like it's been theoretical, like, okay, I'm leaning in, I want to do this stuff. But you give exact examples here, exterior door being 36 inches wide, interior door being 36 inches wide, keyless entry, zero entry, which I have seen that before myself personally, where it's like, you, even just like from my own experience with like luggage, like you try to get luggage into a vacation rental and you have to like carry it up these stairs, which is just annoying. But if you had, you know, a wheelchair, it's like, well, I straight up cannot get in the property. Never mind that it's annoying me, you know, as someone that doesn't have that particular situation. So maybe could you talk through some of these items at a little bit at a high level of like what changes are maybe like easier to make or more feasible to make? Some of these things may be tough, though. I'm just imagining in my head, Lorraine, like if the interior door is currently 31 inches or 30 inches, how do I get it to be 36 without, I guess, doing a lot of work inside the house, those sorts of things?
I'm definitely going to answer that question, but I'm going to turn it around a little bit in that we talk about accessibility and so many times we go exactly to that direction, the wheelchair, the mobility, but our conversation so far has been about cognitive. And so I'm going to start more with the cognitive because it's not been something that we've dealt with in the short-term rental industry ever. And so now we're looking at what is a cognitive disability? What are these invisible disabilities? That's hard enough to explain, but how do you identify and create a property? If I were to say to you, would you invest $500 to reach 32 million potential renters? I think the answer could be yes.
Yeah.
Well, that's how much it costs to make a property accessible for somebody with a cognitive disability. So in our certification program, which we've released about a month ago for a cognitive property, we take what Adam P. talked about. We take our sensory needs, our lighting, our safety, and then the odor-free environment. And then we break these down. So sensory, what is that? Well, is that a glider, a swing, a rocking chair, maybe a noise machine? A bathtub is a very relaxing, muted colors. So we look at that. We look at lighting. My husband does not, well, he might have a cognitive disability, but he's not labeled as one, but likes those blackout curtains. You know, it's like, oh my God, there's so much light in here. And it's like, come on, dude, it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Of course, it's light out there. You know, your dimmer switches, your light switches, non-fluorescent lights. That's really, really important for some people. Again, one size doesn't fit all. That's why we have this listing safety. That's humongous. It's humongous for small children. It's humongous for our wanderers with dementia. It's important for our families with people on the autism spectrum. So what is that? It's a $5 extra lock at 6 feet on the door. So Lorraine's trying to grab the door to go see that bunny that's in the yard. And my husband's like, no, Lorraine, get back. We'll go out and see the bunny in a little bit later. You know, are the chemicals stored and locked away? You know, do you have an alarm system? Put it in your description. You know, take a picture of it. Are your outlet covers? Again, all of this, TVs. Anchor to the wall. Hello, we all could use that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, locks on gates, pin locks in windows, you know, life jackets. Again, this isn't rocket science. It's pretty, but we don't know. And that's what our job is, to share this information, to put this on the onboarding when you are looking at what filters to use. And then the odor-free stuff. I mean, hey, I love a nice smelling room, but some people don't. My husband does it. I limit my candles to my office because Robert's like, ooh, that stinks. And I love them. So think about, you know, your chemicals on your cleaning supplies and your air fresheners. You know, candles, it's not safe anyway. So let's look at that. So what we're looking at here is not expensive. You're not tearing down windows, but your reach is, I mean, we're looking 32 million just on cognitive disabilities. And again, in life, we're born with different needs, all of us are. And by the grace of God, may we get older. And as we get older, we're going to need more of these different things. And so it's just good business. And yeah, from an emotional standpoint, it feels good that in a gift, I really feel like I'm living my purposeful life, because I get to share this and make a difference for all of us. And that's really cool. So I'll get to the mobility stuff, but I had to, which I also thought is really a testimony of where we are today, because we're all about the bottom dollar. We all want to make the most money possible. Hey, we're a for-profit sustainable business, and we want to continue that direction. And that's why we do certifications, because again, it's about evaluating and validating that you say you have these things. I want to know when I go to your place, like Adam P. said, there's not 1,000 Chotskys around. I'm going to knock them down. You know, I'm just going to. And so I don't want them, even though I like them. And I don't have any of that weird stuff on my walls, but I do have some really cool beach stuff. So there's your cognitive. Mobility, again, it's all about choices. Sure, we have an elevator. It costs $25,000. Sure, we have the roll-in shower, but we did that in the onset of building our property. But there are ramps. You can buy a $50 threshold ramp to get over that da-da bump going out to the deck. You can get a threshold ramp that goes over a step in the shower, you know, that a wheelchair could go over the shower. But what it does is not every property has to have everything. It's just knowing what is considered accessible and to put that in your description and show it in your photo gallery. So many times we show the birds and the fishing and all these other lovely things. But truly what I want to see is I want to know, can my friends, can my family enjoy this space? And what do you have in your space? And that is something that's cost nothing. And to make sure that when you take pictures, think about the floor. Because look, when you start looking at pictures, you're going to go waist up. And it's like, or pretty dishes and all of that. And it's like, you know what? Just the facts, ma'am. And that's what we do.
No, I like those examples, Lorraine, on both levels, because it also breaks down. We have this on the safety episode too, I think, that we did a while ago, Adam, where if I remember correctly, Justin Ford has said this publicly before, where he talks about like 1% of the revenue over the next 5 years or something is all you need to make your property as safe as possible with regards to things like smoke alarms. I think he gave an example of a lot of kids can't hear that frequency of a smoke alarm because it's too high of a frequency, and kids, or it's the other way around, maybe it's older people. I'm butchering this. Justin's listening right now. Like, what are you guys talking about? But anyways, he gave an example where, like, if you put a proper fire alarm into a vacation rental home, sure, it's going to cost you thousands of dollars. But the chances of that saving, you know, someone down the road is easily worth that trade-off because it lasts for a very long time. And what you're describing too, Lorraine, these are like relatively small adjustments that might be helpful to people. And to your point, if it helps you get more bookings, like, that's what we're all after, right, Adam? Is like, we want more bookings right now. And anything we need to do to lean into that, in my mind, like Lorraine's saying, is good business. And we should be leaning into that idea.
Well, I think that Justin made the same argument. That small investment, and I think you're right, Conrad, I forget what the specific is, but 1% over a period of time, whatever it was a small amount.
Yeah.
But the same concept was, if you invest this back into your properties, then it's going to return tenfold from a revenue perspective, because now you're going to get additional guests that you wouldn't have, and you are able to stand out from the rest of the crowd because you get to say, you know, I'm safety certified or I have, you know, a cognitive disability certification, whatever it might be. Now you've stood out from the rest of that crowd. I think that, you know, one of my questions that comes to mind when we start talking about that is, how do you actually execute standing out from the crowd? Is it, you know, becoming on the rentable site? Is it the ability to stand out on some of these OTAs? Did the OTAs call out accessibility? Like, how do we go from a marketing perspective? How do we actually leverage this type of change?
Yeah, Lorraine, maybe we'll go your direction on that. Is there like a way for people to be more visible with, or let's say they went through the effort and the investment to make changes to make things more accessible to more people, whether it would be a cognitive disability or maybe a mobility one? How could they do that? Is it just better photography, like you were saying? Is there something that OTAs do to support this?
Yeah. I think there's a lot of things. I mean, one, we've got to look at the onboarding process. You know, when you have two filters that says wheelchair accessible and wide doors, what does that mean? Mm-hmm. You know, it's to be able to give descriptive filters. You know, we have a roll-in shower, step-in shower, tub. You know, those are very descriptive instead of an accessible bathroom. So it is, you know, working with companies to look at their onboarding process. You know, we have 63 filters, 43 for mobility, 20 for cognitive. Airbnb has the most filters for disability, and that's 13. And they are wheelchair accessible, wide doors. You know, what does that mean? We need to be more descriptive. So that's one. Secondly, we need to look at what information are we including on our Book Direct properties, as well as our large booking platform properties. Are we giving that information in the description? Are we showing pictures? Do we have a video that will walk somebody through that property? That's particularly important for our families with autism, is to be able to go, all right, Lorraine, remember, this is the door that we saw, and this is the bedroom, here's the bathroom, so that you don't have those surprises. And we created a medallion in your photo gallery. You can have the Becoming Rentable, you know, mobility certification medallion. And what that does, we hope, is that it will give, you know, confidence to that renter, knowing that indeed their property has been reviewed by three individual staff people at Becoming Rentable to verify that, yes, this is true. And I think that, again, that validation creates that ease. And how you separate yourself is in your headline. We are wheelchair accessible. We are mobility. We are walker. We are cognitive. What are you? You know, I love the fancy names, but I want to get down to the nuts and bolts of this property that my family's going to go to. So state it there. You know, we are one of five properties in Alabama that is certified. That's horrible, but that could be true. We don't have five. We might have five, but I really don't know. Okay, 100. Well, I know we don't have 100. So be the first 100. Market yourself in different ways to set yourself and say, hello, here we are, and be proud of it. Because my renters, they come back. You know, the renter I talked about earlier today. And can I tell, I'm a love storyteller, but this will be a quick one. So Gideon's coming back, April 1, and his family. Gideon was 16, now 18, in a wheelchair. And he's all about, he came out of the van and he said, are you the owner? And I said, yes, I am. And he goes, well, I want to thank you for building this property because it's the first time that I will be able to take a shower on vacation. And my heart goes, oh my God. You know, so next day I go knock on the door. It's like, hey, Gideon, dude, what's going on? And I said, how is that shower? Fine. I'm like, what do you mean fine? And he's like, yeah, guess what? I got to pop popcorn all by myself. And I'm like, oh, you like the microwave, huh? And he goes, yeah. I said, is that your favorite thing? And he goes, no. And it's like, okay, what is it? He goes, the thermostat. I can change. Mom and I are always fighting over hot and cold. And now I can change it all by myself. So she likes it cold and I like it warm. I was like, that's your favorite thing. It's like, no. I'm like, okay, what's your favorite thing? He goes, I can turn on and off the lights. So I can go to bed when I want. I said, oh, good. That's your favorite thing. He said, no, I can be independent here. And that's what we have and do what we do.
Nice. That's awesome. Well, so Adam P., what would be kind of your, I guess, example of that? So if you're going to look for properties, you know, online, is there anything that you would you search, like Lorraine alluded to, like filters and things like that? Is there anything you found that accommodates you in any way, whether it be in the hotel space or in the short-term rental, vacation rental space?
I think it really comes, I mean, all those things are important to us. And when Lorraine talked about the TV on the wall. Like, oh my gosh, like that's like the biggest concern. And like, you know, bookcases and things anchored down, like things like that are so critical that, you know, just off the table, if not, otherwise you have to like lay it down on the floor. So things like that, yes, very helpful. I think most important to me is probably the ability to communicate with someone and to basically say, okay, I have most of this down. I've kind of isolated this property or these several properties as viable places for us to be. And then, you know, the next step is I need to have a conversation that says, okay, I think what I'm seeing is a safe environment. Can I verify these several things? And, you know, it's not an hour long conversation. It's like, you know, 6 minutes. Hey, here's a few things I'm worried about. Do you think that this fits into my category? Do you think it works? And that's really important. And it's not always so easy. I mean, especially in vacation rentals, people don't necessarily want to jump on a phone call. It doesn't always really get communicated so well in an email or an online kind of app environment. So that's really helpful for me as a quick conversation.
So Conrad, I'll touch on a couple of points there, because I think those are, again, some important points from an industry perspective, from professionals that are trying to elevate their game. The couple of points that Adam made there, one, both Lorraine and Adam mentioned video. And I don't know that many people are really spending that much time on video. And really, if we take a step back, I think that the majority of listings, whether on a direct booking website or an OTA, like Lorraine said, are focused on those sort of nice things about the home, the best view of everything, not really looking at just the facts, ma'am, right? You're looking at the sunset. You're looking at the overview of the pool. You're not seeing what kind of tile it is that I'm going to have to deal with. You're not looking at the thresholds. So I think the video becomes a really important part, which is, again, a small piece. Take a little extra time, get a video, put it on there. And it doesn't have to be everything, right? It could be just that inventory that you're going to market as accessible. Focus a little bit stronger on the video and focus on areas that most guests wouldn't necessarily want to see. But the one that really got me was Adam talking about actually having a phone call with somebody. Now, I think this industry for a number of years has tried to automate and move away from that. And we've thought, oh, the guests really don't want to interact with us. And I was actually a part of that, because selling Point Central, I was driving keyless access and moving away from the in-person check-in. But that's not where the interaction has to happen. We can have a really thoughtful interaction. And we talk about unreasonable hospitality a lot in this podcast. There's no better way to have unreasonable hospitality than to slow down and take the 5 minutes it takes to actually have a conversation with someone. Now, I would argue for all of your guests, you should probably try to take that 5-minute conversation, because you're going to build a relationship with the guest. You're going to find out why they're here, what they're doing, offer suggestions. But this is another level that we really need to take. If you've got someone who has concerns about anyone that's coming down, and we also talk about life events and how we're changing lives in all of these properties. Well, we've got demographics that are coming down. The baby boomer demographic is growing larger and larger every day. We've got a lot of people that are going to come down and stay in our properties that are going to have needs that are outside of sort of that average guest demographic. We need to slow down as an industry and talk to people about what their needs are and try to answer the questions that they have. What an amazing experience it would be for someone to have just 5 minutes where Adam can ask them those deep questions. And from a guest perspective, for Adam to think that the industry doesn't want to do that, I think that's a disservice that we've done as an industry to help or to make guests feel like, hey, maybe they don't want to spend the time to talk to me. We should be jumping out of our seats to find an opportunity to talk to our guests, especially about something as important as this.
I feel like so many conversations I've had recently, Adam, have been about like, how do I get better results out of my marketing or advertising or things like that? But then they don't want to do anything different. It's kind of like, well, I'll just put more money into it, or they don't actually want to have a hard conversation with the owner, or they, like I had one recently, honestly, great property. I didn't look to see kind of its accessibility concerns, but the property itself was nice. Bad photos though, just not really sharp photos, not well done. You know, I don't know if they haven't been updated in some time or what the deal was, but I'm like, yeah, I think we just need new photos here. You know, and that was kind of met with a lot of resistance. So it's like when people aren't willing to improve, I hate to say it, but like capitalism does kind of win in that regard. If your listing doesn't improve, if your listing doesn't appeal to more people, to what, like we've been talking about over the last little bit, and then you complain about a lack of bookings, like my sympathy meter is very low in that scenario, right? If you're not willing to do these things to make your property more appealing, then things kind of end up the way they are. I had a few more kind of grab bag things here maybe we could get to as we kind of go down the list here. It sounded like here at Lorraine, from what I can had there in the notes that Adam put together for us, there's a virtual summit that you're putting on here soon. Could you maybe talk about that summit that you're doing and how people and learn more about it?
Absolutely. Thank you, Adam.
Yeah.
Sure. We're having a summit on short-term rental industry, April the 6th and 7th. It's free. My business side of the company is not really always happy when Lorraine just wants to continue to give things away. But, you know, again, the information's important. And that's how we're going to grow as a company and how everybody else can grow. And so we're trying to tackle a lot of different things. We have Kathy Martinez with Expedia talking about their reach with the accelerator program and why, you know, looking at the needs, not only for the underserved market, if it is our LGBTQ plus community, our disability, our Black community, of really looking and talking about how a large company deals with that. We have speakers that are interior designers that will talk about how to design your property for mobility accessibility. We have an interior decorator talking about how you design your property for people on the autism spectrum. So that's really cool. We talk about service dogs. You know, we talk about that. We have three case studies that we're going to have a part of the summit, where what they did and what the results are from changing their properties to be more accessible. So it's really kind of our step one and of introduction of what does it mean to be accessible and what is the reach. One of the newest reaches that we're going to talk about is our business traveler. So many times business travel is ground air travel to a hotel. So now having a short-term rental expands our employment market for companies to hire more people, to retain more people, to have employees in recruitment. So we're going to talk a little bit about that business traveler and how a short-term rental can also reach that community that we haven't targeted before. So we still have space available. People can go on becomingrentable.com and get a link to the summit. And hey, thanks for that little piece of information coming out.
Yeah, no, of course. Well, awesome, Adam. Anything else that we should tie in here, Adam N., before we let these fine folks go for today? I know we've got a handful left, and I've got one more question I've got to send both of their ways.
No, I'm just happy that we're having this conversation. And I want to thank Adam P. for reaching out and making this happen. And obviously, you know, bringing in Lorraine. I think that what you're doing, Lorraine, is fantastic and much needed in the industry. So if there's anything that we can do, please let us know. And Adam P., if there's anything that we can do from a perspective of maybe connecting you with some property managers, Lorraine's probably the right one to find the right people. She's got the best connection there. But Lorraine, from a rentable perspective, is this also a listing site where people can go there specifically to find properties, or is the idea to get them certified to then go list on other places?
Right. We are a listing platform, and to be listed on our property, we do have to verify and validate. So that is a $200 investment for a certification. Again, we're the only site that in the globe that is identifying accessible short-term rentals. Currently, we're in North America. We hope to be global in first quarter 2025, but we are not a booking platform. We don't want to deal with that. We let the other folks handle that side of the business. And, you know, we do have the largest inventory beating Airbnb and Vrbo, but I have to say, that's over 1,000 properties. And so the greatest need we have is for property managers and hosts to look at their property, evaluate it, send it our way. Let's get you on our map. You know, we want to be that one-stop service. We're putting together and creating a list of products. So you want to have accessible products to be certified as Cognitive Amazon store and get them. We hope to work with a little shout out to our friends, Jeff, over at Host GPO. We need to curate a list for you too. And so that, again, $500, 32 million people, it's a no-brainer, but we are not going to have people booking properties if they don't know that they are accessible. That's the biggest need that we have right now to help change this in this industry. And let's do it.
Awesome.
Yeah. So I think that, you know, Adam P., hopefully that's a great resource for you and other families like us who have to go out and find these properties. But I guess this diverges a little bit. But Adam, your background is also, as you mentioned, in the research side of things and stretches into politics a little bit. Is there any sort of crossover with your two worlds from a special needs side of things and then the political side of things?
No, other than if I thought that there was something that I needed to advocate for from a legislative standpoint, you know, I would use my relationships in that way. I feel like there's a lot of people doing that out there and I can certainly support them. But that moment of, like, you know, going to Capitol Hill hasn't happened yet. So if someone needs some help, I'm here to give some guidance, but no, it hasn't really happened.
Well, I will give a quick shout out then, because I don't disagree with you. I think that there are a lot of people out there trying to get some sensible regulations around short-term rentals and vacation rentals, I think there's still a lot of work to be done. So if anybody is listening to this and you want someone who understands that research and political side, but also understands that special needs side of things, Adam could be a good resource. So by all means, you know, we'll list some contact information, or you can find Adam on LinkedIn, but there could be some value there as well.
Mm-hmm. I'll do show notes links in the show notes like I typically do. So if people want to reach out to Adam, certainly I'll put the Rentable link in there as well, Lorraine, and I'll put a link to your LinkedIn profile. A lot of people kind of tend to connect through that platform as well. So got one more quick question. Adam P., I was going to go your direction first on, so we're looking for a future guest for the show. Actually, Lorraine, I was going to say this a second ago to you. You were recommended by a previous recording that we did, but we'd already scheduled you. Adam was Johnny on the spot on that one. So you were kind of the benefit of that, Lorraine, already. But Adam, anyone that you know, and maybe they're not in our industry, maybe they're in other places, but you know, we're all here, you know, at the Art of Hospitality, about hospitality, vacation rentals, short-term rentals. Anyone that comes to mind that you've encountered that might be a good guest for us down the road?
This may be unpopular because I don't know how fashionable travel agents are anymore, but Linda Newby is my travel agent, and she knows, I don't feel bad that I don't use her for every trip, but I've known her for, you know, 25 years, and she knows my family really well. And she knows, you know, all her clients' families really well. So all I have to do is call her up and say, like, hey, we were stuck, by the way, in Maui during the fires, and she got us, you know, out of there and got us to Oahu. Honolulu. So I'm a big advocate for travel agents. She knows us well. I think she'd be a great guest.
That is a really interesting one. It's one that I've not thought of.
Yeah, that's a fun one.
Right. I mean, travel agents is something that has been a little bit of a dying breed, but I think you're right, Adam. There's value there because it is someone who understands your history and tries to understand the connections that you might need in order to get where you're going. So yeah, that could be a very interesting discussion.
Cool.
Yeah. Awesome. Lorraine, same question your way then. Anyone, your previous recommendation, anyone that comes to mind for you that maybe would be good for us to chat with here on the show?
You know, like I started off with choices, I'm going to give you two choices on this one, you know. One is Ableview by Megan Winters. Their company is about doing video of places. It could be short-term rentals. It could be businesses, museums. But again, the benefit for our families with cognitive disabilities, being able to see a destination before you go, going to a doctor's office. That's what they do. My second recommendation would be Becky Large, Autism Travel Club. And they're all about identifying resources in the travel industry and in communities to travel and have places to go that are cognitively friendly, have sensory rooms. So there you go. You got two.
I love this.
Perfect. I like it.
Three. Two of us is pretty good.
Yeah.
Those are great suggestions. And I love that final question because those are things that we just wouldn't have uncovered on our own. So thank you for both of those.
Yeah. Lorraine, you're always over deliver. You know, we ask you for songs, you give us multiple, you ask for guests, you give us two. So there we go. She's always delivering above and beyond. Well, awesome. Thank you, Lorraine. Thank you, Adam P., for your time recording with us here today. We were down a man. You know, Scott is dealing with some travel on his side of things, so he wasn't able to make it today, but we still wanted to hit record. Hopefully he'll enjoy this episode. And if you enjoyed this episode, you the listener meaning, we would greatly appreciate it if you go to your podcast app of choice. Spotify, iTunes is where we get the most downloads. So that helps us the most, but anywhere you could, you know, any podcast app of choice, click 5 stars, something that's very friendly for you to do for our download so more people can listen to the show, hear from people like Adam, hear from people like Lorraine, and we can talk more about these fun topics on Art of Hospitality. So thank you so much, and we'll catch you on the next recording.